The very thing Mrs. Bennet had spent most of her adult life avoiding finally came true, but in an unexpected form. Mr. Bennet had the unforeseen good fortune of outliving his wife. In the end, her nerves, which had long been Mr. Bennet's good friends, became her downfall, as she succumbed to an apoplectic fit. None of her children were at home to see the sad event. Jane was with her Mr. Bingley at Vining's, and came rushing to her father's side with appropriate speed, accompanied by her husband. Elizabeth came with Darcy at the same time. Mrs. Bennet had certainly chosen a convenient time to die from their standpoint, since the Darcys had been visiting the Bingleys at their home, and so the sad announcement could be made with great expediency in their case. It was nearly as convenient for Kitty and her Mr. Masterson at their small estate, Hazleton. Mary was with Kitty when the special messenger made his announcement, and for a full minute even Mary could think of no comforting platitudes to offer. They stood together in shock, and then Kitty began wailing. Mr. Masterson began directing the servants to pack at once, and Mary resumed her seat at the tea-table, determined that it would be a waste to lose perfectly good scones, even at a time like this. She did, however, pause for a moment to offer a private prayer for the repose of her mother's soul. Afterwards, she packed. Lydia, influenced by her military husband, had the most practical approach. The messenger had not long been at Godfrey House when he was dispatched back to Longbourn with a businesslike missive. Did Mr. Bennet want them to come at once? If he did, how did he plan to house his five daughters, their four husbands, the various children, and all their servants? Would it be best if they planned on taking rooms at the inn in Meryton? Had he had time yet to arrange for poor Mrs. Bennet's services? Please reply at once, she said, so that they could make the necessary arrangements. No children, Mr. Bennet said by quick reply. He wanted none of the grandchildren present to aggravate his own nerves at such a time. Arrangements had already been made, and the services would be carried out as soon as all of Mrs. Bennet's five daughters could be present. As for accommodations, he really did not care where they stayed, so long as they stayed out of his way. He told them to make whatever arrangements pleased them. Mr. Collins and his wife Charlotte were present at the services. Mr. Collins would lose no opportunity to comfort where comfort was not wanted or needed, and he prevailed on his newly bereaved cousin tediously, until Mrs. Frett threatened him with bodily harm if he said another word. Collins was, to be honest, slightly disappointed. It was the duty of Mr. Bennet to predecease his wife, was it not? Had history followed its divine order, Mr. Bennet would have died first, and he himself would now be in de facto possession of Longbourn. Instead, it looked like he would have to keep on waiting for what should rightly have been his already. He would return to Hunsford with ideas for multiple sermons on the vengeance of a divine being. After the funeral, all the Bennet daughters and their respective husbands sat around the dining room table at Longbourn with their newly widowed father and made plans. It was not long, just a few weeks, before those plans were carried out, and a messenger of a very different sort was sent to the Collinses. Mr. Collins repaired speedily to Longbourn, gratified the divine providence had chosen to smile on him after all, though perhaps not as kindly as he had first hoped. Longbourn would be let to Mr. Collins, the house and surrounding properties together, for a very small fee each year. The small fee was so small that Mr. Bennet wondered why he bothered charging Collins anything at all. He certainly did not need the money. He and Mary would be well supported by his married daughters, and he would spend a portion of his time in each of their households by turn in the upcoming years. He stood with hat in hand for a few minutes, contemplating the grave of Francis Bennet. His contemplations were not all pleasant. He had held little affection for Fanny, but he had held some, and there was a part of him that felt he had let her down by being the one to outlive the other. It was not the natural order of things, or so he felt. But what was done, and could not well be undone. He said a quick prayer, replaced his hat on his head, then mounted the stairs that had been placed before the carriage, and rode away from Longbourn for ever.